We sat down with physical therapist Ellen Strunk to break down something that she and some colleagues had created around PDPM and PDGM. I mean, right now, just those letters started to cause people anxiety, and we understand that. Ellen and some leaders in the home health, geriatrics, health policy, and administration sections of the APTA got together to create some resources that can help you and your facilities navigate PDPM and PDGM. Want to thank Ellen and her team for doing that and for coming on this episode to share that. This show, as always, is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it in clinical practice. Find out all the information online at owensrecoveryscience.com and on their brand new BFR podcast, available now on iTunes.
Keep up with the show online, ptpinecast.com, and on the socials at ptpinecast.
Ellen Strunk back on the show. Ellen, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's great to be here.
We bring you back on the show because, well, there's a lot of changes going on in healthcare. We've had some leaders from APTA on this program. When news comes down from the government, Medicare, around Medicaid, we try to be one of the first out there getting the word right from our advocate's mouth. With some changes in PDPM and PDGM, everyone keeps going to the internet to get information. And the great thing about the internet is there's so much information. And the bad thing about the internet is there's so much information all over the place. So yourself, Greg Hartley, D. Cornetti, Matt Mezeboff, along with Kara Gaynor and Alice Bell from APTA, you decided to do something about it. What did you guys decide to do?
The genesis of this project really started probably about 18 months ago. When Greg, Dee, Matt, and myself, we knew these changes were coming down the pike, and we knew they were going to be, you know, transformative to the industry. So we began thinking about what could we do from our respective sections to try to help members. So Dee Cornetti is the president of the home health section. Greg Hartley is the president of the Academy of Geriatric PT. Matt Mezeboff is the president of the health policy and administration section. And me, well, I'm just interested.
I'm Ellen.
Yeah, I'm the I serve as the federal affairs liaison for the Academy of Geriatrics, and then I'm on the Governmental Affairs Committee for Home Health. So I'm a member of all three groups. We began thinking about what we could do, and we wanted to create resources that each of our section members could use. And by combining forces and combining talent, then we, each of our sections would not have to do the work of creating a bunch of stuff on our own. So for instance, because our members often cross the sections or academies, it seemed like it would be silly for home health to be developing PDGM resources at the same time the Academy of Geriatric PT was doing it, and so on and so forth. That's why we decided to combine resources, and we began having regular calls to kind of lay out a roadmap, so to speak, of, all right, what is most pressing? What are some things that need to be done in the short term versus the long term? Obviously, we had PDPM going into effect 3 months earlier than the PDGM, and we wanted to pull in as many other members and experts across the industry as we could.
You guys working together instead of separately to bring this information to the people who need it. I like that crossing sections and crossing academies there. And you came up with a PDGM, PDPM resource guide. Let's first let people know where they can access this information first.
If you are a member of any of the three sections, you can go to the section website and you will see a link on the right-hand side of the page that says PDPM and PDGM. Each of the other sections also has a website like that where you can find information. If you go to the APTA website, APTA.org, there are a lot of these materials that you can find that are free to any PT who goes out there and grabs them.
We'll include some of the links of where you can find these resources through the various sections and academies, being geriatrics, home health, the Catalyst, as well as APTA. So that's where you can find it. Let's get into the meat. What are people going to find when they get to these resource pages?
You know, we were hearing a lot of chatter out there about people concerned that they were just going to have their jobs cut, because under the patient-driven payment model, the number of therapy minutes in the SNF no longer count towards the skilled nursing facility's payment rate. So there was a lot of concern that because they didn't, quote, need us anymore, unquote, to get a higher payment, then there would be the likelihood that they would just cut therapy jobs and quit providing therapy. And that fear, you know, is not a crazy one, because when the Balanced Budgets Act was passed in 1997 and the prospective payment system first went into place, that did happen. There was a wave of job cuts for physical therapists. Now, the industry quickly realized that they needed us, and so they began hiring people back. But the difference between now and then is that there are a lot more quality controls in place for skilled nursing facilities. And CMS has said for 18 months, we are going to be watching. We are going to be watching to see if any providers significantly cut on therapy utilization. And if they do, we're going to look at their quality metrics. And if their quality metrics are also suffering, then that could be a death net for the skilled nursing facility. I think we all have to realize that there are methods of doing things more efficiently and still getting the same outcome. Then that is what the goal is of our healthcare system, to keep it, you know, going. We can't just do things that are not necessarily provide therapy that is not going to move the needle on the function gauge. That is what they are looking at, and that's something that we did not have in 1997. That was kind of what we wanted to do, was how could we create resources that for both therapists in the skilled nursing facility and therapists in the home health agencies, how could we give them tools and resources to go to their employers and their facilities and their agencies to say, look, these are ways that I can help you achieve that quality goal that you have. This is why you don't want to unnecessarily cut back on therapy just because you're worried about my cost, because these are the things that our treatments and our working with your patients are going to achieve in the long run for your quality metrics.
So the information found on these resources is going to educate and arm therapists to go to the facilities that they work in, that they can educate the people that they're working for and things that you can actually do. So one way you can change things like PDPM or PDGM and the imposing 8% cut that we're facing right now is advocacy. That's one arm. The other is education, and that's what this resource is going to arm therapists with.
Keep up with the show online, ptpinecast.com, and on the socials at ptpinecast.
This episode is brought to you by New Step. New Step created the first product of its kind 25 years ago with the New Step Recumbent Cross Trainer, which is now a mainstay in PT worldwide. New Step continues its tradition of innovation with the New Step Transit. The New Step Transit uses advanced software and hardware to help you get your patients better faster. Find out more at newstep.com. That's NUstep.com. Newstep.com to find out about the New Step Transit.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
What types of information can they find there under the different settings? And we will let you know when you're at the resource. It is divided in the different practice settings, being skilled nursing facilities, home health, long-term care hospital resources, post-acute care resources, and inpatient rehabilitation facility resources. What types of things can they find under all those different sections?
Yeah, great question. Some of the things that we developed were, we created some webinars talking about what are the changes. We wanted to focus on the myths, because as you mentioned in the intro, that there's been a lot of information out on the internet that has not been right, and it has scared a lot of people. So we really wanted to try to say, okay, look, this is the truth. This is what the systems are all about. These are the myths, and these are the reality. So we have a couple of webinars out there that are focused on that, the myths around PDPM and PDGM model. We also wanted to create some things that would help them understand the payment systems themselves. Therapists working in these settings may not have good clinical resources that they can go to and understand the changes that are happening, and instead they just get information on a need-to-know basis, and therefore they don't understand a lot of how these models work. So we created just some basic tutorials on, all right, what is PDPM? How does it work? And the same for PDGM. We also created some resources that hopefully will help them manage change. Many therapists working in both of these settings have never worked in an environment outside of the prospective payment system. So, for instance, I can't tell you how many hundreds of therapists I met over the last year that when I asked, have you ever worked in the skilled nursing facility where you didn't have a number of minutes to achieve every day given to you? And many of them said no. Even from the time they graduated from PT school, they go to work in a SNF. Every day they come into work, they're given a schedule, they're given a target set of minutes, and that's what they do. And they've never been in a setting where they were able to kind of say, all right, I think I need this much or I need that much. There's a whole generation out there that is struggling with, all right, so how am I going to do this now? If my provider is not giving me that information, then how am I going to determine for myself how to do it? Then the change of, you know, okay, we may not have all of the PRN staff that we used to have because we don't need as many PRN staff now. So how am I managing the change of those people around me or the day-to-day schedule? So we tried to create some resources that would help them manage change within themselves, but also for managers out there. How can they help their team to manage this monumental change? We also have some resources devoted around compliance, thinking about what kinds of compliance issues might creep up. And so those are going to be some resources out there. We have a couple of resources about understanding the primary diagnosis. That is something that's a little bit different for, especially the skilled nursing facility setting. The primary diagnosis the patient is admitted with is a big factor in determining what the facility is going to get paid. And many times, unfortunately, over the last 20 years, therapists really have just sort of waited on the facility to tell them what the primary medical diagnosis is. And there's a lot of reasons that happen. But the fact is that therapists need to be able to understand how to identify a primary medical condition and be a part of that interdisciplinary team. And then lastly, we have some webinars and some tools on the quality reporting program and understanding those metrics that CMS is going to be watching. I'm a firm believer that therapists need to understand what are those quality measures that Medicare says they're going to be watching to see if providers are using the right recipe of services, so to speak, in order to achieve a good outcome. And then lastly, I think I may have said lastly a minute ago, but I'm going to say now, we have four really cool tools out there that therapists can use to show the value of physical therapy on patient populations. So we have some one-pagers that focus on the research of how PT can improve outcomes and reduce falls. We have a one-pager showing the research that to support that physical therapists can help providers reduce their rehospitalization rate. We have a one-pager that shows how early mobilization and making sure that patients are getting the right intensity of therapy can help a patient's larger trajectory of health outcomes. And then we have a one-pager that walks the therapist through the decision-making process of when might group therapy be an important adjunct to use in addition to individual therapy and how to make that decision. Because under the patient-driven payment model, at least, Medicare changed the definition of group therapy and are allowing therapists more flexibility to use it. Now, what we don't want to see is that providers go in there and just tell therapists, look, you're going to do 20% of group every week on every patient. That's not a thoughtful application of a clinical modality. And so this tool is intended to help therapists manage that and be able to determine when is it clinically appropriate to do group therapy and when is it not. And when I decide that I am going to use it, how do I structure it? How do I document for it so that my patient gets the best outcome?
Sounds like you guys put a lot of thought and effort into this, and I want to applaud you guys for that. Here's what I took away from that. Make sure you're educated, because right now, as you reiterated that I mentioned at the top of the show, there's a lot of people talking, for good reason, about PDPM and PDGM. This is going to possibly affect their lives, and you should know all that you can, but make sure the things that you know are the truth. Make sure the insight that you're using to educate those you work for and with is fact.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Love the PT Pinecast?
Yes. Yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
Want to thank our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing, for supporting this show. They're the leaders in travel physical therapy. Let your PT license take you where you want to go. Positions in all 50 states, in all settings. So find out where your license can take you and travel the country. The leaders who've been doing it for more than 20 years are at Arias. That's AURUSMedical.com, AURUSMedical.com. The information about housing, CEUs, license transfer, all the things you might not think about when you want to travel the country, they've got it covered. So talk to an expert and see where your career can take you right now. AURUSMedical.com. That's AURUSMedical.com.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
There is a lot of myth going on, a lot of fear going on. I understand that. But unfortunately, we have to look at it this way. The Medicare system and the prospective payment system and the post-acute care world, and that by post-acute care, I mean skilled nursing facility, inpatient rehab, long-term care hospitals, and home health. Those systems are need to be overhauled. They are not working. There is a lot of the cost in these settings is just going up and up and up, and the system cannot carry that burden for much longer. So there needed to be a change. Mm-hmm. And that change has been discussed and piloted and researched for at least 5 or 6 years now. And APTA was in on those discussions from the very beginning. They have CMS's ear, and there were therapists on technical expert panels, and there were therapists who gave feedback to CMS and worked along the way in this process of developing these models. Now, they may not be perfect, and we may, as therapists, we may not have gotten everything that we wanted in creating these new models, but they're here, and we have to continue to advocate for our patients. We have to continue to gather information to take back to CMS that says, look, this is why this part isn't right. This is why this part isn't right. Mm-hmm. And here's some alternatives. So we can be part of the solution rather than just, you know, stomping our feet and saying, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. That's part of this whole change model that we have to be an active participant in and not just a resistor of.
Another example of joining the APTA and membership having its benefits as well as being a member of the different components, sections, and academies within the American Physical Therapy Association. We'll include all the links available for these resources in the show notes to this episode. And as always, you can reach out to the leaders of the sections and academies. Ellen, anything else you want to leave with as we wrap this up?
No, I just want to, you know, thank everybody for listening to your podcast. Thank you, Jimmy, for giving me a chance to speak on this. Our respective sections, the PA, the Catalyst, the Home Health section, and the Academy of Geriatrics. Like you said, we put a lot of work into this. We want PTs, members, and non-members to have access to these materials. The more we can all work together and advocate for our patients, the better off we all are.
Better together. Sharon Dunn loves to say that one, and I agree. Ellen, thanks for taking some time out to talk with us about this. We look forward to having everybody take a look at those resources.
Thank you.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet.
ptpinecast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.